There is a lot of confusion about what following Jesus looks like in practical living. Often we Christians are so little affected by the teachings of Jesus that we mirror the culture we live in rather than the Christ we profess. Are we really following Him? Let's talk about it.
There's a tendency for us to become overwhelmed by the culture we live in. It's natural for us to want to fit in and be liked. The danger comes when fitting in causes us to compromise our biblical beliefs in favor of the ways of our culture. In today's program, Dave Gorduc, pastor of Spiritual Life at Hope Sound Bible Church, will teach us in Faith by the Book how standing for godliness will, at some point, contrast with the culture we live in. Let's listen to Dave as he teaches us how to make choices to follow true biblical principles.
Following Jesus has a certain aspect to it that is otherworldly. Often, we Christians look too much like the world in our example of Christ. For example, it's sometimes we're so worried about what's going on in the world around us. It's almost like Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, get worried. Have an earthly focus. Peace in this time is the most important thing. Actually, with that view, faith has not very much place. Things are getting worse and worse. There's nothing left to do but to worry. And worry is what the people of the world do. But Jesus said, not get worried, but he said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. In other words, don't be worried. Be calm, people, in the face of trouble. John Wesley was on his way across the Atlantic Ocean to go to Georgia to try to evangelize the Indians and encountered a major storm. He was very frightened, but he noticed some Moravian Christians who were at peace and singing hymns during the storm. It so impressed Wesley that he went and asked them about the peace. And the peace was because they had settled in their hearts that they weren't living for this world, but they were living for the next world. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, the answer is not to worry. The answer is not to be frightened. But the answer is to know that there is a God that has our best interest at heart, that cares about us and will help us through the troubles of life. I'm glad Jesus didn't say this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words are good most of the time. You know, if Jesus had said something like that, we would never be sure that God's word is trustworthy. We would never be sure that we can really rest in Him. We wouldn't be sure that when He says, don't get worried about the troubles around us, if His word were good just most of the time, we could never be sure. In fact, what we would do is we would decide what we want to believe and discard the other things. We would set up man in judgment of God and God's word. We would say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this, what Jesus said, but this other part of what he said is very inconvenient. Jesus didn't say my words are good most of the time. Here is what he did say. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, his words are more sure than heaven and earth. My father became a Christian shortly before he was married. And then a few years later, I came along into that family. One of his favorite phrases was, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will not pass away. I was brought up with a foundation to know that you can always rely on the unchanging word of God. It was his foundation, and it didn't matter what was going on around him. At his workplace, when they were giving him a hard time about his faith, he would come home and share that, but then he would rely on the word of God that the words of Christ shall not pass away. Another thing I'm glad God didn't say is, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In fact, I don't have to face this any longer. I want 10,000 angels to deliver me right now. Of course, that phrase comes from when Jesus was on the cross, or when Jesus was praying before he faced the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he prayed, he recognized what was facing him. And he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But he didn't stop there. If he had, then we would realize that suffering is okay for a little while, but there's a time to step in and put our time limit on it. God's design for us can only go so far, and then we'll step in and say, enough. The most important things are our comfort or enjoyment or alleviation of anything that makes me too uncomfortable. Hard things are not worth working on. Life is about what we can get, not what we give, about our desires, not God's will, about self, not others, about short-run relief, not long-run redemption. But no, Jesus didn't stop there. Instead of stopping and saying, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He yielded himself to the Father's will. One songwriter said it like this, "Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee." And so the fact is that we find our life when we give it up. Jesus said this, which is a paradox, "He that will save his life will lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same will save it." In the 1420s, a man was arrested and sentenced to die for his beliefs. His name was Sir Gaspar Caplitz, who was then 86 years of age. When he came to the place where he was to be executed, he addressed the main officer like this. He said, "Look, what you see is a miserable ancient man who has often asked God to take him out of this wicked world, but could not until now obtain that desire. For God reserved me until these years to be a spectacle to the world and a sacrifice to himself. Therefore, God's will be done." One of the officers who was there told him, in consideration of his great age, that if he would only ask for pardon, he would immediately receive it. The man exclaimed, "Ask pardon? I will ask pardon of God, whom I have frequently offended, but not of the emperor, to whom I never gave any offense. Should I ask for pardon, it might be justly suspected that I had committed some crime for which I deserve this condemnation. No, no, as I die innocent and with a clear conscience, I would not be separated from this noble company of martyrs." And so Sir Gaspar Caplitz cheerfully knelt down and put his head on the block. What did he find? He found that there was something better than selfishness. He found that giving his life for God was worth his whole being and existence. And the reason for that is that this life is not all there is. There's something beyond. There's something beyond heaven and earth. Sir Caplitz found that in Jesus Christ. And Christ calls us to follow him. It may be into suffering, but not always. And yet, following Jesus will bring us a clear view of what it is to be a Christian. It's not saying we want part of what he asks, part of his words, part of the time, but it's knowing that God's word is trustworthy. And when God tells us that after we die, we're going to be with him, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he not only calls us to follow him in this life, and it may be into suffering, it may be into trouble, but he calls us to follow him, to be with him forever. And the day will come when the trumpet will sound, the Bible says, and Jesus will come back, and he'll receive those who follow him to be forever with him. You can follow Jesus and find that he is worth following. He'll take you all the way home to heaven.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to today's message and hope that you'll come back and listen again on this same station. This program has been a production of Live Hope and Sound Broadcasting.